About five years ago, almost 6 years ago now, I had a dream one night. In this dream, I saw a man walking away from me. And he was walking down a hallway. He had on a trench coat, long trench coat, and he had long hair. He was a white guy, I could tell that. And he's walking away from me, and he's got a 12-gauge shotgun. And he's just pumping that gun and shooting it while he's walking off like that. Just pumping it and shooting it, pumping it and shooting it. And I woke up. And I was under the constraint of the Holy Ghost when I woke up. And I knew that the Spirit of God was talking to me, but I didn't know what the Holy Ghost was telling me. But anytime you know the Spirit of God's talking to you, you should follow your unction. How many of you get glad you have an unction from the Holy One? So I did a security, a little security conference, a weekend security conference, and had some very well-trained people showing us how to just harden up the site, the entire facilities around there, because there are a lot of entries into the building. So one of the things they did, they just changed that. There's 6 foyers that go all the way around the building, and you could come in any one of them. Well, we changed all of that. You could go out any one of them, but you can only come in the front one, things like that. And so they made their recommendations and all of that, and so we did what they said do, and we did it. And so that was in March. So we had a young girl who was in our youth group, and she lived with her grandparents, and they came to our church. I'm not going to call any names out, of course, because I never know where this is going to go on when we talk. And so I told my staff about that dream, and I said, I feel like the Spirit of God is giving me a warning somehow in advance. And so that was the first thing I knew to do, and so we did that. And then I didn't think anything else about it. Well, this young girl, she was a junior in high school, and she stopped coming to church, and she got mixed up with some people that she shouldn't have gotten mixed up with. And I think her and her grandparents maybe were having some issues, and she had come from a real dysfunctional family. And I hadn't seen her in several months. And one morning in Santa Fe, Texas, some of you have heard of the Santa Fe shooting. It killed 9 kids. One morning in the first class, a boy walks in there with a long trench coat on, long hair, on the honor roll, on the dean's list, walks in, pulls a shotgun out from under his jacket, and the first person he kills, he shoots her right in the face and kills her. And then he starts shooting, he kills 8 other people there. It is an extreme tragedy, a horrible tragedy. Well, come to find out, it seems that he wanted to go out on a date with her and stuff, but he had been a boyfriend, you know, and a football player, all of that stuff, and had been a boyfriend to her best friend there. And they had broken up, so she said, well, I don't have anything to do with you because, you know, you were my girlfriend, my best friend's boyfriend, so I'm not having anything to do with you. And somehow or another, it must have got away with him, and a demon got a hold of him. He snapped, and he went home, and a few days later came back to school and shot and killed her right there. And the Holy Ghost told me, now, if you had not done what I told you to do in March, he'd have come in here looking for her because the access was so easy. So I just said that to say this. Being led by the Holy Ghost is a good thing. Can I get a better amen? Amen. It's a good thing. And it's a blessing for me when I'm doing funerals for teenagers and stuff, which is horrible. But it's a blessing to know that young girl had given her life to Jesus Christ and was serving the and had not been in church recently, but she had given her life to the Lord. And I believe she's in heaven today. But it's not the will of God that you go to heaven that way. Can I get a better amen? And so when you pray, listen to the unction of the Holy Ghost. Use wisdom in all of those things. Glory to God. And last night I talked about the city of refuge for a minute. Just make sure that you stay in the city of refuge. The city of refuge, of course, is in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Just don't go back the other way. Come on, shout hallelujah. It's very important. I believe the Lord is talking to me. about a word here just for a minute. I'm not going to preach long tonight. I'm just going to preach real good. And I'm just going to believe God that you'll receive this. And God will cause it to go off on the inside of you. Recently, I'm a writer. I like to write. I write all the time. I'm still a pen and paper guy. And I was a court reporter and worked in the JAG in the military and all of that. I promise you I can type probably as good as anybody in here and do all that kind of stuff. But I'm still a pen and paper guy. I just, I like to do it. Somehow or another, if I write it down, it just seems somehow to register inside of my brain a little bit better. And so I like to write things down. Most of the messages and sermons that I write, I don't think I ever preach them. I'll get up, I'll think, man, I've got a good message here. I just know this is going to be a good one. Hallelujah. And I start looking at my notes, and all of a sudden I feel like God doesn't like my notes. And then I'll just shift it right in the middle of the stream right there and just obey the Lord. Amen? So I have more sermons written that I've never spoken than I have sermons that I've spoken. And I probably speak about 250 times a year right now. But hallelujah. You have an unction from the Holy One. Amen? And recently the Spirit of the Lord began to talk to me about there's times and seasons and things. And I'm going to try not to get off just on what I see in 26. Some things taking place in 26. They're already started though. Things that we were prophesying last month are beginning to take place right now. Glory to God. One of them was Greenland. Hallelujah. Yeah, sure. The biggest mystery to me about Greenland is that the United States hadn't done more with it before now. My goodness, it's probably one of the most vulnerable places that we have as a nation right here. If an attack came, that's the direction it's coming from. It's very obvious. Have you ever been to Greenland? I have been up there, led people to the Lord in Greenland. And if you ever been to Greenland, you'd understand what I'm talking about. But just look at a map if you hadn't. You certainly would know that. Glory to God. But anyway, many of those things that you and I prayed for the last 10 years, for the past 10 years, they're beginning to take place. The answers are actually beginning to come right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. It'll surprise you how God will answer prayer. When I read things in the Scripture, a lot of times God did things in ways, I'm just like, Lord, if I'd have been you, I wouldn't have done it that way. I wouldn't have spit in that guy's eye, put that mud all over him. I wouldn't have done it that way, Lord. I'd have tried to figure out another way. You're God. I mean, is that the best you can come up with? But, you know, if God wants to do it that way, God will do it any way He wants to do it. Hallelujah. I mean, I don't think I'd have made a donkey start talking, but God made a donkey start talking. He wouldn't listen to the preacher, so He made a donkey start talking. And then it was hard to tell the difference in the two. Anyway, it's amazing how God will do things, and sometimes in mysterious ways. And He'll talk to you that way too. Hallelujah. God knows how to make a gourd talk to a prophet. Speak to a prophet. Sure He does. Did it in the Bible. Still do it today. God knows how to make a giant fish. Cause the gospel to get to a nation and have the whole nation converted. Today we call that Iraq. In Iraq. Because that's where Jonah wound up when it was over with, over in that Nineveh area, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. You say, well, that's just wild God would do it that way. That's just the way God does things sometimes. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He'll speak to us predominantly by His Word and by His Spirit, but He still has the recipe for manna. God knows how to bless you. He knows how to communicate with you. He knows how to talk to you in a way that you understand Him. Praise the Lord. He speaks to us in dreams and visions. God will speak to you. That doesn't mean every dream, of course, was from God. But sometimes it will be, and your spirit man will know when it's from God. I recommend that you listen to the voice of God. when he speaks to you. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 13, in Luke 13, and I'm cognizant of the time tonight, because what I'm talking about, I promise you, I could do a 12-part series on. So I'm not going to do that to you this evening. You've been here for 20 days straight. Hallelujah. Which is just still a high watermark to me. You just don't know how much you elevated in my eyes because of your commitment to what you're doing. And in Luke chapter 13, there was something. Brother Perry Stone is a friend of mine, and Dr. Bob Rogers, and of course Pastor Barry here. But several times, some of these ministries, they'll call and they'll say, "Tell me what Jesus said to you about the four things that why something bad can happen to a good person and what God says about it." And I had a visitation from the Lord in 2002. And it was an extremely unique thing. The Lord woke me up and was standing beside my bed. I was immediately under the constraint of the Holy Ghost. And we had experienced a very difficult thing. You ever go through a difficult time? You ever had a bad time? I'm talking about a bad time. So we'd had an airplane go down, and my 18-year-old daughter was on that airplane. And she went to heaven and immediately. And it was a very difficult time that we were going through. And because, we're not made out of plastic. You're not made out of steel, man. You hurt. I don't care who you are. When you hurt, you hurt. You hurt deep, you know. And we were just depending upon the Lord to just breathe. And so it was on the 40th day after that had taken place. And I hadn't heard anything from God. And so the Lord appeared, and he's standing beside my bed early in the morning. And I was petrified. I was frozen. It's like I was just literally paralyzed in the bed. And I can remember it just like I'm talking to you right now. The words that came out of his mouth. He said, "I know exactly how you feel. I had three," he said, "I lost three of my top leaders, and it was unjust." And then he begins to talk to me about it. Told me who they were. You know them. And after he said that to me, then he said, "But go and look what I was able to do because of that." You know, sometimes the devil will attack, and he'll cross the bloodline. I had a good friend. Some of y'all might would have heard of him. It's Dr. Lester Summerall, and Dr. Summerall was a powerful man. He was a man that was used by God, powerfully used by God. And he said to me, he said, "Pastor, there's spiritual warfare." And he said, "Sometimes there's casualty in warfare." But he said, "Never stop fighting. Just never fight. Fight the fight of faith all the time. Never stop fighting." When you read all of the apostles, it's wrong the way they died. But because of the way they died, they wouldn't back off. They became martyrs, with the exception of John, and he just wouldn't die. And they just couldn't kill him. They kept trying to kill him. And they were martyrs. And in heaven, martyrs have great reward. Are you listening to me? Nobody wants to be a martyr. But one thing's for sure, none of us want to ever back off. We never want to give up. We never want to stop. Oh, hallelujah. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will, he'll just raise a standard up against him. Glory to God. And God will always bless you. Now, you don't have to go through something extreme like that, like the loss of a loved one or some other kind of attack. You don't have to do that. To be blessed by God, the blessing of the Lord's on you. But in Luke chapter 13 here, the Lord had spoke to him, and he said, look at Luke 13. And then he begins to point out to me four things on why bad things come against good people sometimes and what God does if you just stay faithful, because there's warfare, there's battles that go on. I mean, it's unjust that the Apostle Paul was murdered like he was murdered. It was unjust that John the Baptist lost his head. It was unjust that Stephen was stoned. Are you listening to me? It's unjust that James was beheaded. If they could have got Peter the next day, they'd have beheaded him also. Those things are wrong. But when you go and follow the impact of their ministries after that, it's stunning. They're still going on today. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the Scripture says, think it not strange concerning fiery trials. If those things, you happen to experience them in life, you just keep serving God, Daniel, because the mouth of that lion is going to close. That fire is going to change and God's going to dance with you in the middle of the attack. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. This year will be a year of sudden restoration, sudden moves of God, sudden restoration, sudden. Everybody shout sudden. That's a powerful, powerful word. Sudden restoration. And many of the things, you can think back over this. I believe this in my spirit real strong, what I'm about to tell you. Many of the things that for 3 years that you've believed God for answers and breakthrough, go back 3 years from right now, 2023, 24, 25, and now you're coming into a new year. The things that it looks like the devil attacked you in and the past 3 years, just get ready. This is a year of harvest. This is a year of divine recompense. Can somebody shout hallelujah? You'll see it in your life. You'll see it in your family. You'll see it in your money. You'll see it breakthroughs beginning to take place that for at least 3 years you've been believing God for. Oh, hallelujah. If that applies to you right now, if the Holy Ghost is talking to you, you ought to lift your hand to God and just begin to tell God, I receive it right now. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I receive it. Despise not prophesying, the Bible says. Get a hold of it. Believe God for it. Hallelujah. This is your year. Shout it with me. This is my year. Shout it out loud again. One more time. Say, devil, this is my year. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Get it in your spirit. Let it drop in your spirit. So for time's sake, let me just read this to you. Beginning in verse 6 of Luke chapter 13. Jesus spake unto them a parable. A parable. A parable is almost like a video right now. Like a short video. A parable. A certain man had a fig tree, and it was planted in his vineyard. I think that's really interesting. Because he had a vineyard where normally he'd be growing grapes, but he also had a fig tree in there. Glory to God. You and I are a type of that fig tree. Can I have a hallelujah? And God's got us planted right in the middle of a vineyard. I call it Knoxville Vineyard or something. You're planted. Everybody shout planted. Psalms 92 says those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. They'll still bring forth fruit in old age. They'll be fat and flourishing, King James says. One translation says, richly fertile and prosperous. Fat and flourishing, richly fertile and prosperous. To show that God is upright, there's no unrighteousness in Him. Oh, hallelujah. He's upright, He's a good God, and there's no unrighteousness in Him. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord. It didn't say those that go to church. It said those that are planted. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Inside this building is the house of the Lord. Now, you're not the only church, and I'm not the only church and all of that, but we are part of the church. And you're called by God, and God's chosen to set His name here and vindicated it now for many, many years with signs and wonders, revelation knowledge, salvation, families that get turned around for Jesus, deliverances and all of that. That's the kind of house of God that you want to be planted in. There are people watching online. We're thrilled for the people watching online. But listen, watching online is not planted in the house of God. God delineates that real powerfully. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord, that's a spiritual planting. Isaiah calls you the planting of renown. Glory to God. Psalms 1 says, those that are planted will be like trees planted by rivers of living water. And you'll bring forth your fruit in season. Glory to God. But you know, there's something, because your leaf won't wither, it says. It's interesting. When something's planted by a river or a stream of some kind. I grew up in East Texas where there are pine trees and all kind of hardwood and just creeks everywhere. And I was thrilled to grow up in that kind of environment, a beautiful country environment there in a little town called Jasper. About 5,000 people back in those days. It was a great blessing to grow up in that environment. And we'd go out hunting or we'd go out doing whatever we do, you know, swimming, go out in the woods and camping and all that stuff. And you'd see those trees that are planted by rivers and by streams and all of that. And their root systems would run and just go out like that. And they'd just go down the banks of that river and they'd be all along the sides of it like that. And the Bible says that when you're planted in the house of God, you're like a tree that's planted by a river of living water. You may look like a drought going on out there, but those trees just continue to live because they were planted by the river. They were planted right there next to it, and their roots just kept growing and growing and growing. I believe when you're at Knoxville Christian Center and in the house of God, when you're planted in the house of God, I believe that you'll bring forth, you'll be like a greenhouse. You can just bring forth fruit all year long. Come on, shout hallelujah. And your leaf, it doesn't fall off. You're like an evergreen in the name of Jesus. Lord have mercy. God, why am I saying that and who am I saying it to? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the scripture says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and he sought fruit thereon and he found none. He still wanted fruit and he found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, the keeper of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years, come on, shout 3 years. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost talked to me about this. Behold, these 3 years. He said, I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. Have you sought God for some things yourself for 3 years? I have. There's things I've sought God for 3 years. And hadn't seen the answer manifest. Now, I see it in here. I wouldn't be spending time with it. I mean, you can see it in here. You got the eye of faith. You can see it. But you hadn't seen it out here yet. Hallelujah. I'm prophesying to you in Jesus' name that this year is your year to see it. It's your year. Don't give up. Come on, shout, don't give up. Listen to what he says right here. Behold, 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why is it wearing out the ground all around here? Cut it down. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever been tempted to give up before? Have you ever been tempted to let go? Listen, I tell you, God will heal your marriage. God will heal your home. It might have been like World Federation wrestling for the last 3 years, but you've been seeking God. You're believing God for a breakthrough in your marriage, in your family, with your kids. It's your year. Come on, shout. It's my year. The Lord's talking about years right here. He said, for 3 years I came seeking fruit on this fig tree and I found none. Cut it down. Why are we letting it just waste? But he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone. Somebody shout, leave it alone. No, shout it like you mean it tonight. Leave it alone. In your spirit, I'm sure this wasn't just a suggestion. The Lord wouldn't have recorded it for us like this. He said, leave it alone. This year also. Can I just say one more year? He said, leave it alone. This year also. Leave it alone one more year. Every seed doesn't produce instantly. Some things take time. And here he talks about it. He said, leave it alone. For one more year, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Digging and dunging, there's two different words, aren't they? Now, I'm not sure what you call dung up here, but down in Texas where I'm from, I don't know. Can we talk? It has something to do with like bull or chicken or something. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. But it's fertilized. Who knows what I'm talking about? Thank you very much. And it doesn't smell good. And you don't want to step in it. And you don't want to handle it. But it's necessary if you're going to grow something. Now, God's not talking here just about how to grow a garden. He's just saying there's some things that you might have gone through in life. And they are just dung. But let me tell you what the Apostle Paul says about it in Philippians 3:8. He said, the things that I thought were great, my accomplishments, my achievements, and all of those things, he said, I count them as dung that I could gain the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Can I get a better amen? You got to understand some things that you experience in life, good or bad, they're just fertilized. They're fertilized for what God actually has for you, that gift and that anointing and that vision, that dream that God's put on the inside of you. Oh, hallelujah. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on the things that God has given you. Dig around them. Dung around them. You know why you dig? I don't know a whole lot about it, but when I was a boy, there was a lady, her name was Miss Braswell. And Miss Braswell, when I was a teenager, she had a big old yard and she had these huge, huge pine trees in it. And she owned a place called The Model. And The Model was a ladies' kind of upscale clothing store. It was a high-end place in a little town. People came from all over the area to the women did, you know, to buy their clothes. They'd buy their wedding gowns there. They'd buy all kinds of stuff there, you know. It was a really, really sweet place. And this little lady, everything about her, I mean, her hair was perfect. She just dressed to the nines all the time. And she was quite on up in age at that time. I was just a young boy, let's say 15 years old. And she would have probably been in her mid-70s, at least in those days. But she wanted her yard done right. And so on Saturdays, I'd go to her house and I'd do, you know, she'd tell me what she wanted me to do. I'd mow that thing in a big old yard too. I'd mow that yard. But she loved azaleas. Azaleas are unique. You know, you can talk to a tulip and it'll obey you, but an azalea's got an attitude. If you ever raise them, you know what I'm talking about. And she believed in sheep manure. And so I would have wheelbarrows full of that stuff she'd buy, and I'd be pushing that stuff around all over that big old yard. It was probably about an acre and a half. I'd be pushing that stuff, and she'd be right there behind me. No, you got to put it in. You got to work it in there really good. Work it in there really good. It really meant something to her that it was done right. Because they had the Chamber of Commerce Yard of the Month contest that was always going on. And it was her life's goal to win that every year, at least once. She wanted that done right. So I was like up to here in dung, sheep dung. That's what I told somebody. I have 7 grandchildren now, and they're all church mice. You know, they're all 7 of them are in church there with us. And they go from about 3 years old to 13 years old now. And they'll be sitting in church or at different times they'll be in church. And I look over there and there's candy wrappers around. There's a Tic Tac on the floor and there's all of that kind of stuff. And after church, I went over to their mama one time. I said, hey, you got some sheep droppings over here. You need to go pick that up before your kids are here. we're sitting. And it's necessary, Jesus is talking right here, that you and I have to dig around some things. And we have to understand that there are things that we are going to experience in life that if you give them to God, you stay in faith, you just don't back off, it's nothing but fertilized for the harvest that's coming in Jesus' name. Jesus pointed it out. One more year. Shout it again. One more year. I believe in Jesus' name. I'm here tonight for a reason, because 26 is your one more year. You could have stayed home. You could have been watching The Young and the Worthless or whatever those shows are, and you know, As the Stomach Turns or something like that. But you came to church anyway. And I believe this word is just for you tonight. Glory to God. One more year. One more year. One more year. You have to work that ground. You say, how do I do that, Pastor? It's called prayer. It's called fasting. It's called reading the Word of God. It's called worship and praise. It's called godly fellowship. Fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's called being planted. Being planted like trees. We're not planted like weeds. No, weeds are just blown about and everything by whatever comes along. No, we're not people that are blown around. We don't blow in and out of church. Come on, shout hallelujah. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight because you're here in the fast and you've proven yourself already. But I tell you, in 26, in the name of Jesus, now listen to me. Listen, it's important to hear it in my spirit. There'll be those that try to get you out of the house of God. And they'll say those things that people have been saying, you know, well, unbelievers, you know, the doctrine of the unbeliever. Well, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. You know, you don't have to go to McDonald's to have a Happy Meal. You can just call it in. But you know, if you go there, you could maybe get out and play on the playground a little bit. It's that way in life on just about everything. No, it's not a matter of having to go. It's I get to go. I'm planted. Hallelujah. I'm drawing my root system is growing there. And we're believing God. How many of you think we ought to be contagious with the Holy Ghost? We're believing God that our families, our friends, our acquaintances, the people that we bump into, the people that God allows to be in your world, in your space, that they're going to be highly influenced for the kingdom of God's sake. Glory to God. They're going to want that. They're going to desire it. Let me just finish just a little bit further. Verse 9, and if it bear fruit, well. But if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. We don't have any record of him ever cutting it down. He's talking about the potential of not doing something. One of the things the Lord said to me when he visited me in 2002 in a very unique, and I rarely talk about this, it was a very powerful experience. It's very, very dear and precious, especially because of the time of when it happened in my life. One of the things the Lord said to me, he said, one of the reasons that bad things can happen to good people is because men are not diligent. Men and women are not diligent. And he said, that's why I wrote Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. Go and read how much I talked about diligence. Not being a sluggard and not being lazy and being a doer, a person who gets it done. Hallelujah. Because here's a man that for 3 years, apparently there's something that needed to be done. It's possible he must not have done right what he thought he should have done. But when it looked like it kind of got to the breaking point, he cries out and he says, one more year, don't do it. Let me dung it. Let me dig it and dung it. Let me do it right. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing it right. Come on, shout hallelujah. Because otherwise it can open the door sometime for an attack to come in. That's one of the reasons right there. So it's very important because the Scripture talks about being diligent. And so in this year, I'm not talking about being legalistic. I'm talking about being diligent. In your words, and diligent in your actions, and diligent in your money, and diligent, be purposeful, and believe God for supernatural increase in everything, because we're looking for fruit, we're looking for production. And that's what God was looking for. And He's still looking for that in our lives today. Oh, hallelujah. What a good God we serve. Hallelujah. So now that you ask, I'll just give you the next verse. And as He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, Jesus just keeps on talking. There was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. A spirit of infirmity, which had been bound for 18 years and could in no wise stand up straight. She was bowed over, couldn't stand. And that's another reason that attacks can come. This woman's in the house of God. She apparently loves God. Jesus was in there. And there was someone that had been attacked by a demon and for a spirit of infirmity. For 18 years. Those things will try, they'll try to attack Christians. How many of you are glad that in Christ we have authority in the name of Jesus? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I like to say in the testimony of the word too. Hallelujah. And so this woman was in church. But she was in this religious-minded church where they did the same thing over and over and over. And then they wanted to get critical because Jesus was going to set her free because it was on the Sabbath. Well, listen, if a demon doesn't care when he's attacking you, you can be sure your Heavenly Father doesn't care what day you get set free either. Glory to God. Don't ever get bound up by crazy stuff like that. You take authority in the name of Jesus, rebuke that sickness, believe God for health in your body, rebuke that attack against your family. She had had this for 18 years. If we would have read verse 4 and 5 up there before we got to verse 6, there was 18 men standing by the Tower of Siloam, and that thing just fell and killed all 18 of them. The Bible says right there in your Bible. And they were just standing there. They just fell and killed all 18 of them. And it's what we call in this world an accident. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, now, the reason that accidents can happen is because we still live in a world where there's a curse in operation. But when you're in Christ, come on, shout hallelujah. Christ has redeemed you from the curse. But you've got to activate that redemption through prayer and obedience. Some of those things only go through prayer and fasting. Because the manifestation of it's there. Legally speaking, everything Jesus is ever going to do, He's already done it. Legally, experientially, we by faith enter into it. Legally speaking, if they understood their rights, every person on the planet, past, present, and future, has already had the price paid for their salvation. Because Jesus did that. He's the Lamb of God that not just was slain 1900 years ago, He's the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the age, the Bible says, from the beginning of creation, for every man and woman. But a lack of knowledge will send any person to hell. That's why we take the gospel to the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But experientially, that's why we feed on the Word of God and faith comes. And when faith comes, glory to God, you can have what you say. And your adversary, the devil, can't stop that. If you'll just take that shield of faith, just use it. Use it in your prayer. This will be the finest year you've ever had in Jesus' name. Somebody shout, it's my year. Come on, shout it out loud. I believe with you in Jesus' name. I'm declaring it over my, I feel like the Holy Ghost told me about it. It's my year. I've got some things that I've been praying for 3 years. It's my year. Hallelujah. I may or may not tell you about them someday when they come. It just depends on what it is. But I can just tell you in Jesus' name, I believe this year, I'm going to see 3 years of prayer in something. Now, some things God's answered them almost before you get up off your knees. You feel like you've already had the answer, you know. But there's some things they just hang on and hang on and hang on. We just keep digging and dunging. Digging and dunging. Digging and dunging. Because God expects a harvest from everything you and I pray about. Glory to God. Lift your hands up to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your anointing that's in this house. I thank you, God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that you've redeemed us from that curse. So we activate your redemption plan in our life according to Galatians 3:13. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Just begin to thank God. This is your year. Go ahead and say it with your mouth. Father, I thank you. This is my year. I thank you. It's the finest year that I've ever had so far. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for 3 years of everything that the enemy tried to block. I decree in Jesus' name. 3 years, Lord, where I maybe wasn't diligent the way I should have been. I thank you, Father, that you're the God of supernatural recovery, that you'll recover, that you'll multiply it back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Glory to God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Glory to God.